Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Robbie's wearing an entire hot dog thing. You're a hot dog.
Tandy's not here. We got a hot dog back there working the thing, and my speaker wasn't on. Robbie walks in and wants to. I walk in and he's standing there greeting me in a hot dog uniform. He puts his hand out.
He wouldn't shake my hand.
I said, I'm shaking your hand.
I'm going to shake your hand. I want to shake his hand.
Is he a tree or is he a hot dog?
He's a hot dog, but his nickname is Tree.
Oh, okay.
Ask me about my week.
And now for something completely different.
There's been a weird development on social media. The Washington Commanders defensive coordinator talked about how he wasn't enjoying the Hail Mary because he was pissed about them screwing up and allowing the Bears to score and come back. And Caleb Williams' father, Carl Williams, retweeted that soundbite with two hashtags. One of them, accountability, and the other one, real coach.
Uh-oh. I texted Carl Williams and said, hey, what's going on here? And he just says, it's an innocent comment. I like what the Commanders are doing. I know a lot of guys over there. It's got nothing to do with the Bears.
Whoa. So he acknowledged that he tweeted that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
It's Friday before game day, and we've got to figure out a way for the Bears to win, and maybe they'll listen to us, or maybe they won't. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. I'm Lawrence Holmes. That's Matt Spiegel. Robbie Triano has got all the sound. Shane has got all the guests and ideas and everything else that are rattling around in his head. Spiegs, here we are.
Uh-huh.
A couple days before this thing gets real.
Well, it's been real all year. Dude, it feels like so long ago, but it wasn't, when there was pure football joy for the Bears. Like, we were bristling during the bye, excitedly waiting for the next game because they were coming off those wins. Things looking good, feeling good in England. Hell, man, you and I were at games back-to-back at Soldier Field that were wins, and the vibes were high, and like everything was feeling in such a good, positive place. And then that brutal loss and everything that happened during the week just kind of turned it. But I let's get back to it. I feel like I haven't wanted them to kick the ball this much in a long, long time. I mean, maybe obviously the opener this year, after a whole offseason of looking forward to stuff and waiting for them to play, but like, my God, we turned the page on the stories, but we couldn't really because it lingers and we have guests and stuff like that. I want them to play, and I think there's some players on that team who could and will play very, very well. Some guys we've barely talked about as players during the week have a chance to play really well on Sunday.
Like who?
Well, one is Cole Kmet. I mean, we talked about him just as a speaker. That guy got 28 targets in the five games before the Commanders game. More than five per game. And he's caught 297 of his three. Was it 297 of 300? I think it was. Wait, it's hold on. I had that here. Of the targets. But he was targeted once against the Commanders. Once! Use Cole Kmet. That Arizona defense, man, is gettable. Caught 27 of his 30 targets for 303 yards on the season. Target the man, and he produces. So that's one on offense. And on defense, you can beat this Cardinals offensive line. They haven't given up a sack in three games, but they keep rotating dudes. They're rotating guys. They've used 10 different offensive linemen. They've used seven different starting groups in their games. Jervon Dexter. Dexter's been really good this year. I want to watch Dexter kill it, and I think he can against the interior of this line, and that could make a big difference against Kyler Murray. And Kmet is a dude who I think can be very effective, and I want to see him be effective. I want to watch and enjoy players who have been really good all year, and those are two of them that we've barely mentioned because of all the crap this week.
But here's the thing, though. We can want that to happen, but I think that it's something that's connected. Like, we should be looking at it as something that is connected, where you can't enjoy those players because maybe they don't know what they're doing. And I think that's kind of where we still are on this.
I don't agree about those two players. Cole Kmet knows what he's doing. Jervon Dexter knows what he's doing. He's been taught well by Eric Washington. He knows lower.
That's not what I mean. I mean the coaches themselves might not know what they're doing. So even though we want some players to be more highlighted more, that would mean an understanding of some basic stuff that, quite honestly, right now, we're not sure if the offensive coordinator is even capable of.
I don't really agree in terms of targeting people who have not been targeted, because it happened after week one when the Kmet was nowhere. All of a sudden, he played more snaps and was targeted. It happened when DJ Moore all of a sudden had two touchdowns, targeted a lot against Carolina. Then Keenan Allen had two touchdowns, targeted a lot against Jacksonville.
Were those three teams again?
For sure. But that was an offensive coordinator responding to things that have been lacking, you know? I think he can respond.
In the most premium opportunity for him to do it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is not a great defense. It's a very young pass defense.
It wasn't a great defense last week either.
Mm-hmm. And Caleb was bad. Caleb was really, really bad.
38 passing yards until the fourth quarter for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about trusting the coaching staff, and specifically Shane Waldron, to give people the touches that we need, then we can go back to the Doug Kramer play and go, the choice that he made and said he would make again is to give the ball to Doug Kramer in that situation instead of Roschon Johnson, Keenan Allen, or DJ Moore.
I know, but in the passing game, I just gave you four examples of how during the course of the year, three examples, how during the course of the year they have ended up targeting somebody who needed or wanted to be targeted, and a lot of that is on Caleb. Is Caleb going to be bad again? I don't think so. I think there was a lot of nerves and a lot of stuff going on with Caleb that Kerry Joseph spoke honestly about yesterday, and I think this Bears offense is going to show out.
If it was in a vacuum, I would probably agree with you, Speaks, but it's not. There's also injuries on the offensive line. And that is a big reason why you could see Caleb struggle. Even if we don't think that it goes down narrative street, he'll bounce back from it because we've actually seen him bounce back from stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is connected. And if they get behind the sticks, will they be able to get the ball to Cole Kmet or DJ Moore or Keenan Allen?
So are you forecasting less Bears joy than I am? Are you making picks? Do you make picks?
I don't really make picks. I am curious to see how it goes because I've been stuck between these two places. I've been stuck between the only thing at this point that would surprise me is if it's a close game.
You don't make picks.
I don't really make picks.
All right, I think you and I got to deal with this because I don't think I ever quite realized that. Because Burnsy was in the doesn't make picks. Is he also still a don't make picks guy? Because Ray's giving me the yes on that. So this is why the producers usually dominate the scores picks on the website, because
like to make picks.
Because they like to make picks.
They're getting ready to get their 1-900 lines up and running. So
I'm
here for that.
All right. So
I'd love to go undefeated.
So man, it's interesting. So the mayor of Worrytown, but no pick. I don't get a pick out of you.
Damn.
I mean, I can make one for you if you want.
If you want, I guess is the question.
I don't really want to.
Okay. Well, I can't force you to.
But I do love talking about what might happen, which is, you know, the gig.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's definitely, there are multiple ways to do the gig. That's fine. But yes, I am here. I am on record. I'm calling for a Bears win. I'm predicting a Bears win. Good luck, everybody. I have no idea, of course. None of us do.
That's right. Yeah. That's the weird part about it.
I thought that was the gig.
Why don't we talk with Gambo about how this Arizona team is looking? Because he will have an idea. The host of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Murray to throw. Kyler Murray lets it rip. End zone, Harrison. What a catch
Man, oh man!
Jonathan Gannon has done an awesome job turning that thing in the last four games. He's, you know, 3-1 in the last four games, just like we are. And he's an outstanding coach. He's done a really good job there, and he's a heck of a man and a really good leader.
Kyler Murray has been spectacular this season. At times, he's been even perfect from a passer rating standpoint. Why don't we find out more about the Arizona Cardinals and talk with Gambo, John Gambadoro of the Burns and Gambo Show at 98.7 in Phoenix. Gambo, thanks so much for joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. What's been the most impressive thing about the way the Cardinals have started the season?
Lawrence, how are you? Matt, how are you? My daughter went to Loyola Chicago, so I've got some ties out there with you guys.
Right on.
Yeah, listen, I think in many ways, like their ability to win some of these close games, last year they were terrible at it. They were 2-5 in one-score games. You go look at what they've done recently. They've won their last three games by one score. They beat the 49ers by a point. They beat the Chargers by two. They beat Miami by one. So the ability to kind of win these close games, they couldn't do it last year. They're starting to do it this year.
Are they closing and finishing in ways where, like, they're taking care of fundamentals and things like that? Is that how it's happening?
Well, listen, they've got a lot of problems on their front seven defensively. No B.J. Ojulari, he's out for the year. Dennis Gardeck got hurt, he's out for the year. Bilal Nichols is out for the year. Darius Robinson, their rookie first-round pick, hasn't played yet. So it's really been on the back of Kyler Murray and the offense to get it done. Even in his last game against Miami, that was the first 300-yard passing game we've seen from Kyler Murray since 2022 in October. So, but he's been great at leading these teams back with, you know, in close games down the stretch. They scored 10 straight points on their last two drives to win that game against Miami. They did it against the Chargers. They found a way to get those big drives at the end of the game and squeak out some close games.
So, Gambo, them being in this position now, what do you think it means for them? Like, I'm still trying to figure out if this Cardinals team is any good. What do you think?
Well, do you think the NFC West is any good?
No.
Okay, well, that's the question, right? I mean, Matt, it's about you look at the NFC West and you say, why not? Why not? Like, maybe it's not going to be a 12-win San Francisco team this year. I mean, the Cardinals are tied for first with Seattle and San Francisco. The Rams are a half game behind. I mean, look, the Cardinals could be in last place after this week, or they can still be in first. But when you get to this point in the season, you start thinking about the trade deadline. Is Monty Austin-Fort going to go for it and get this team some defensive help on that line? But at 4-4, and you look at their schedule, they've got a really, really easy schedule. Unlike you guys, the Cardinals' schedule is pretty much cake. You look at the teams that beat them, the Bills, the Lions, the Commanders, the Packers. Those teams are 24-7 this year. Those are the four losses. So I think you just say to yourself, hey, why not? You know, why not? If you can win this game, win the New England game, I think there's a chance that, you know, that nine wins may win this division if San Francisco doesn't get back to playing the type of football we expect.
So my 12-year-old son went for Halloween as Ghost from Call of Duty. It was a very good costume. I don't need to send you the pictures. But I know, like, everybody's going after Kyler, but Kyler played really well after the game came out. Do we have a more mature version of Kyler this year?
Yeah, should have came to my house, man. We've got our full-size candy bars, man. We have the full-size Reese's, the full-size Hershey's, the Kit Kats. We go full-size at our house.
Big shooter.
Yeah, listen, ever since that Call of Duty thing came up and Michael Bidwell, the owner, put the clause in the contract on, you know, watching film and stuff, Kyler's really done everything right. So if he fails, and he's not a top-10 quarterback, it's not on him. He's put the work in. You know, he's been the first one there. He's been the last to leave. He's working out here. He rehabs here. Like, he changed a lot from the Cliff Kingsbury days. I give credit to Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austin for it. Like, that's been a good change for him, the new leadership. But he matured. Because for 6 years, we're sitting there. Look, I'm going to tell you something right now. A year ago today, we were discussing whether the Cardinals should take Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick because we weren't sure what you had in Kyler. Kyler was out. He hadn't played yet. We didn't know what we had in him. He was an okay quarterback, but we didn't think he was a top 10 guy. We still have our doubts, but he's definitely mature. But a year ago now on our airwaves, we were talking about if the Cardinals end up with the first or second pick, should they go get a Caleb Williams, you're a Drake May in the draft and move on from Kyler? That was the discussion here because we just weren't sure what we had.
You know, all right, so you lived through Kingsbury and Kyler. We just saw Kingsbury, who's having a great year in Washington. Would you trust him to be a head coach again, asking for a franchise with a defensive head coach?
Is Eberflus on the hot seat?
Yes.
It's searing. It's
scalding.
So hot.
Oh,
it's Sonoran desert hot.
Man, you guys are right there in the thick of the race. He's a good defense. I got everything from last week. I mean, I don't know why you don't call a timeout and get your defense set and make sure everybody knows, hey, last play, they're going to throw a Hail Mary. Let's make sure nobody gets behind us. I don't know why you wouldn't call that timeout there and kind of go over that with your team. That made no sense to me. But I think Kingsbury is absolutely worthy of a second chance. I mean, you got to remember, when he took over this Cardinal team, I think they went from 3 wins to 5 wins to like 8, and then they 11, and they made the playoffs. It was his first foray into coaching. You know, he's going to be better the next time around. He's a terrific offensive mind. And he was trying to make it work with a rookie quarterback. And, you know, it did work. I mean, it did work for a while. Guys, they made it to the playoffs. They got slaughtered by the Rams, but they made it to the playoffs. And then everything went to hell in a handbasket. But I think, you know, I think Cliff would be worthy of another shot.
Gambo, there's two types of people who give out full-size candy bars. It's the people that were born into wealth. And there were the people that didn't get the full-size candy bars when they were kids. Which guy are you?
I certainly was not born into wealth, coming from a family of immigrants from Sicily, in Messina, Sicily. So I certainly wasn't born into wealth. But you know what? I've had a 28-year career here. I've done this show for 28 years. Woo! I'm going to do it for another one or two and then retire. So why not give out the full-size candy bars? Just why not?
Good for you. That is tremendous. 28 years is outrageous.
See, what you don't know, Speed.
Never didn't have my contract renewed. I don't get it.
See, the thing is that what you don't realize is that Gambo bought Cliff Kingsbury's house that when he left, and that's how he's able to give out the giant candy bars.
Yeah, I kept the Leo painting, too. I really liked it. The Leo the Lion painting. I kept that one.
Hey, man, as long
you guys want Cliff, huh?
Well, you know, it's an option. It's an option. We'll see what Ben Johnson says after the end of the year, if that is indeed the way they go. Ryan Poles might fight for him. Hey, back to this week. Buda Baker's awesome. Who else should we worry about on that defense? Who else is good on that defense?
Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker is fantastic. I mean, he is one of the best defensive players in the league, and he anticipates and reads unlike anybody, you know, we've ever seen. I mean, he had 12 tackles. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a pass defense last week. I mean, he was sensational. The defense, it's bend but don't break, man. It really is. The cornerbacks are young. Garrett Williams is really young. Max Melton is really young. So they've got Sean Murphy Bunting has been out. So they've got some real young guys, a Starling Thomas young. So it's a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-olds. We've got some veterans like Mack Wilson and Kaiser White at the linebacker spot. They've really, really struggled on third down, and they've really, really struggled to get real pressure on the quarterback. That's just something they just don't have. We were talking the other day. Darius Robinson hasn't played a game yet. He might come in and end up leading this team in sacks because they just don't have anybody to rush the passer. So a couple of veterans in Mack Wilson and Kaiser White who are good players, young secondary at the corner spot with Williams and Thomas and Max Melton, and then some veterans back there with Buda and Jalen Thompson at safety. Those are very good players. And, you know, keep your eye on Chad Ryland, this kid that the Patriots cut. He's come in here and been money for the Cardinals.
Yeah, you can't put out the kicker and expect the Bears to score less than 27 when you're talking defense. Let's go. Bears 27 points this weekend against Arizona. Calling it now.
Gambo, we really appreciate your time, man. We know you got to get back to your thing. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, boys. Take care.
Thanks, man. 28 years on the air. Hey, did you hear that? I'm like, who else is good on the defense? Nobody. The answer's nobody.
The answer's nobody. So what happens in those situations, Speed?
So then that's when the offense, who's pissed off, takes a step forward.
That's not what I was thinking. I was thinking if you don't have someone that is capable of, like, if you don't have Montez Sweat, what would you do if you were a defense that was trying to bait a young quarterback?
I would blitz like crazy. I would blitz and I would get exotic and I would try to scheme to confuse the young quarterback.
And if you didn't feel like the guy calling plays on the other side knew what he was doing, you know.
Yeah.
there might be an opportunity there to take advantage of it.
So are you at the same station right now where Gambo works?
I don't think so.
I don't know, because you're at a station out there.
I am. I did a tour for on my YouTube page for people. I think I'm the only person here.
Oh, man. I've been to places like that.
I actually really like, and look, they treat me so good here. I'm in like a full studio. Like a full studio. I've got full space command over everything. They changed the backdrop for me.
Wow, look at that. That's amazing. Yeah, I was I once did shows from Minnesota. I think it was WCCO in Minnesota, and I was like, this is an incredible, old, historic, brilliant, amazing building. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
This place is in the middle of downtown Phoenix, and the thing is that this piece of property is, where it's located is so choice that I can't imagine that our company is going to keep it.
Right, right. Well, it's like, sometimes you get a glimpse of a business in decay, you know? It's like right now at record labels. I wonder how Arista is doing. They might even be out of business, or like, you know, RCA. I don't know. Like, you can go those places like, man, this floor used to have 150 people that work on here.
Well,
and now it's Bill.
You're one of the only people that I could even say this to, Speaks.
Okay.
This place here has a Belmont vibe. It
does it really.
It's why cool. I really like working out of here, to tell you the truth. Like, yeah. The studios are kind of interconnected. You can, you know, there clearly are places for people to be, but because of how the industry has changed, that they don't have to be in the building.
Right.
It just makes life easier for us.
Uh-huh.
If for the people that are on air,
yes.
But you know how it is. Like, the FM people are tracking stuff.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, like, I'm actually looking at one of the boards right now for the Gunner and Cheyenne show, and I'm in their studio, and
not
I can
Gunner
see.
Not Gunner and Cheyenne.
Yeah, Gunner and Cheyenne.
And Gambo? No, he's on
no.
a different show.
Gambo's the ESPN station.
Oh, my God. Nice pull, Shane.
Yeah, it's a really good pull by Shane.
didn't tell him.
But see, I can see all of their tracks and stuff on here, and it's really cool. And I was told yesterday, do not touch anything. So I'm.
So now you got to go touch something.
No.
Come on, man. Go cue up Orange Juice Jones and just blast it all over Arizona.
I'm just terrified because I don't want our connection to be broken. The market captain here, Chris Hernandez, which he's a dope dude, man. He set up everything. And he's like, don't touch anything. And I was like, okay, I'll just sit here and just do the radio show.
There you go.
And I won't touch anything. Because I tried to change the channel.
Oh, don't do that. No.
And when I did that, like, all of the TVs are the same. So the backdrop changed. And I was like, oh, no, it's Gunner and Cheyenne.
Oh, you had Gunner and Cheyenne behind you?
Yeah. And
oh,
then
man.
Chris went and changed it for me. And then I hit the remote and it changed back. And he's like, don't touch anything.
Dude, it looks awesome on Twitch to have 670 the score behind you there in the studio. We look extremely pro. So thank him for that. But also, please use the remote and put on, you know, like Maury behind you or something like that.
I think that they have it on the ABC station here. So I was watching General Hospital.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And, you know, like, it's been a big thing because one of the actresses that's been on for forever, like, they just killed her character.
Oh, no.
And
which
I think
one?
I saw the episode of Kelly Monaco, the one who won Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
They killed her character.
I guess Monica Quartermain is gone. She's been gone for a while.
No, I don't know, man. All I know is that I saw, like, the death montage yesterday, and I was like, oh. So I'm not turning. I got to see what they come up with today.
They pushed Dr. Drake Ramore down the elevator shaft, too, I think.
I think that's right.
Monica Quartermain is still on that show.
I told you.
Holy bejesus.
Because remember, like all the soap operas went away for a little bit,
uh-huh.
And then a couple, like Young and the Restless returned, and General Hospital returned. And then they took a bunch of people from like All My Children and Port Charles and other shows and threw them all onto General Hospital.
The woman who plays Monica Quartermain has been on that show since 1977. She's still
a long
on it.
Time.
That's unbelievable. Congratulations to her and to Gambo for a very impressive run.
Yeah, I feel him on that. 28 years and then a couple more and you retire.
Never been fired. Cannot relate.
We need to take a break. Weeds is going to join us. He wrote a great piece on the Bears trying to get rid of the bad to bring in the good for this game on Sunday. We'll get his thoughts on it next. You don't want to miss it. Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.